This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest in the studio, Jamie McAloon-Lambin, the Executive Director from Ingham County Animal Control. Welcome back to the show, Jamie.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's always our pleasure to have you in here. Jamie, obviously the topic for our show today is adoptions, but boy, if the news of the day could play more to the topic, there was a gigantic issue that came up in the state of Michigan regarding a lot of animals that need adopting. Can you share a little bit of what you know about this situation in Allegan County?
Well, I became aware of it on actually the day before the raid because I was involved with the organization, which is Wishbone Pet Rescue out of Saugatuck. And we were sitting down and talking about the strategy for going in to get what we thought was 60 Shih Tzus. So it wasn't until the next day when I got texts about every 30 minutes, oh my God, we have 100. Oh my God, we have 200. Oh my God, 300. Now it's over 350. So what they went into was nothing what they were planning. So, and it's a small organization. So that's how I became involved with it.
Wow, it's incredible how big this is. So what happened to these animals? I mean, where are they being kept?
The Allegan County Animal Shelter has all the animals at their shelter, which is run by the Wishbone Pet Rescue out of Saugatuck. And that's a very small organization, and they've been fortunate and to really rally support from veterinarians, groomers. When I was there yesterday, there were groomers pulling in with their tables and their clippers from all over the state of Michigan. It was inspiring. It was wonderful. People coming in with truckloads of food and rescues left and right. We actually organized three from our area to go down there and get some of the animals.
It kind of, on the pet side, it kind of reminds you of, some major earthquake or flood
exactly.
or whatnot. You know, in the pet community, it's amazing to see this groundswell of support and help. How many different organizations would you say has been pulled into this whole process?
Oh my gosh, well over several dozen. And then people are just showing up, which is the case with a lot of disasters. So that's difficult because you have people that are untrained showing up. But for the most part, they reserved it mostly for the rescues and the shelters that have the experienced personnel to tend to these animals' needs because they have tremendous medical needs. Their groomers had done a lot of advanced work. I mean, we took 19. We have now 25 because they're giving birth as we speak, several of them. But the groomers had already gotten some of the worst ones that were so matted their tails were stuck to their bodies. I mean, their ears. I mean, it's awful.
I saw pictures of them on TV, and it's as if they were shingled with excrement.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was just...
It's
just
impacted.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Just
it's,
disgusting.
And I couldn't imagine these pregnant dogs trying to give birth. Some of them had, they were just so impacted. They couldn't have given birth. There was no way they could get out because they were so impacted with hair and fecal matter from months of
it. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And you have at least seen the facility they were in. Can you describe to the listeners, have you not?
No, I haven't actually seen the facility. I've had it described to me that it was a residential home in a garage.
So I can't imagine anything.
I couldn't imagine.
And it sounded like they kept discovering more, rooms or something?
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to understand.
From room to room and then to a garage where there were many others maintained in the garage as well. But
wow.
I mean, it was just, and they're little tiny. I mean, you would walk up to one of the cages and you would see this mass of fur and then you think you're going to pick up one dog and then all of a sudden three little heads pop out. I mean, they were so entwined in each other. I mean, but it was just incredible that any animal could exist and live in that condition. I'm amazed.
And what kind of dogs were they?
Shih Tzus, Pomeranians, Yorkie mixes, Silky Terrier
breeds.
Mixes, all little tiny breeds, most with long hair, which was unfortunate because the hair was never maintained.
Even for small breeds, they had to have been in pretty closed and cramped quarters.
Oh, yeah, they had
no way you'd have that many in that house.
Yeah, it's just unfathomable.
And any idea at this point? I'm sure it'll come out as time goes on and more news stories come out about this. But how were these puppies leaving there? Who was buying them, or how are they selling them, or is this just too premature to even suggest?
Well, actually,
that we would
it was
know?
A tip from a buyer.
From a buyer.
Yeah, it was a tip from a buyer that led to
homeless. Were they mainly bringing people to the house and selling them at the house?
I don't know those details yet. But often, this is typical of puppy mills. And if people, you know, it's still blinded by that, they need to understand.
This is an eye-opener.
Yeah, you need to look at the parents. You need to look at the environment. You know, when they offer, let me meet you in the parking lot. Let me meet you at the rest stop. Let me meet you at, you know, McDonald's. When you get those kind of hints, you got a problem. You want to see the environment they were raised in. You want to see where the mother and father are. You want to see everything. And if they don't want to show it to you, you have a problem.
I think today is a whole different world with puppy mills because the internet. I mean, you can move evidently a huge number of these puppies, and it doesn't have to be through what used to be the old, you know, staples. You know, whether it's pet stores or whatever, it can be just through the internet and shipped across the country and whatnot. So
they've never seen the environment. And some of the places don't care about the environment. All they care about is the product. It's about quantity, not quality.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible. It's amazing.
Well, we definitely have reasons to open our eyes now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and Jamie, let's shift our eyes to the local situation because, again, while we don't have an issue that's pressing like this, we still have a mighty adoption issue that's going on here in Ingham County. Talk a little bit about what's going on with Ingham County Animal Control. How many animals do you have coming through your door and being adopted out? I mean, can you share some of the numbers
with us? Oh, sure. In 2011, we took in just under 4,000. Just under 4,000.
4,000,
which is, you know, continually declining. Except for 2010, it was a great year for us. We only took in 3,500. That was awesome. And years before that, it was 5, 6, 7, you know. So, I mean, we've definitely seen a great decrease, except for the spurt in 2011 that went back up again. But we're seeing an increase in owner release animals. I think it was a 33% increase in the number of animals that came from their pet owners. They weren't strays or impounded from the streets, that sort of thing.
They were just people that couldn't take care of them anymore.
Brought in their pets. So we're trying to focus on some retention programs, get those animals to stay in the families, you know, as long as it's a good environment, of course.
Yeah.
And many times these are good environments, but by the time they get to us and they've made the decision, there's no going back. You know, the family's all prepared for it. They've made the decision. But we're also trying to do promotions, something that will inspire people to come and adopt from us, because according to the national statistics, they don't have the exact figure, but it's somewhere like only 40% of animals that are in homes are coming from animal shelters. So that means we're missing 60% of the market. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, where are they getting them from? Puppy mills? I mean, where are they getting these animals from? From the neighbor who had the cat that had kittens?
Yeah.
So we definitely have to get people into our shelters. What do we have to do that? We have to really inspire them that our animals are quality animals, that they can get a bargain, but it's not an indication of not the the quality of the animal. So we started an experiment in March for Feline Free Friday. It's always tough to say that one.
So, you chose Friday.
Yeah, I know. So we did that in March, and we were really hesitant. We'd been thinking about it for months because we don't want our animals, you know, to be seen as a free product and just to be given away without any kind of responsibility on the part of the owner. But we have good screening practices, and we felt, you know, with those screening practices, we should still find good pet owners, just as we would whether or not they paid for it. And it was fabulous. We moved quite a few cats. I'd say over 100 cats probably as a result of that one special. So when March was over, we decided to go with it for probably the next 6 months. We're going to do a Whiskers Wednesday. And on Whiskers Wednesday, they can still get a free cat on Wednesdays, and they can also get a dog for half price.
Wow.
So we're really hoping to move animals because the best shelter is an empty shelter. It's, you know, and so we want to keep our numbers down so our animals stay healthier, our staff stays healthier, and we can do more proactive work.
And
so,
all along, there's a lot of costs associated with running this whole organization.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you're willing to, you know, it just brings statement to how big the problem is when you have to give them away, cut them to half price, and still you have a problem of trying to figure out how to get people to kind of turn their attention towards saving and rescuing these animals.
Yeah. Well, and our goal, and one lady, she really hit the nail on the head when she came and she goes, you know what? She goes, my neighbor's trying to get me to take their kitten, but you know what? I'd rather get one that's already spayed and neutered and vaccinated. Well, that's what we want to. We want to fill the neighborhood with spayed and neutered dogs and cats.
Why don't you fill that Jim, because isn't that a bit more of an element now? Don't you have better facilities to accommodate that than you did before? Talk a little bit about that.
We opened up a spay-neuter surgery in our clinic late last year, and so we spay-neuter all of our animals. We also run some promotions for some low-cost spay-neuter clinics for, like, tomcat specials, things like that, low-income pet owners, things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's really making an impact. Every one of our animals is spayed or neutered, and we can help people that are having problems. We have a lot of people who come in to redeem their animals, and the animals aren't spayed or neutered, aren't vaccinated, and we're able now to offer help with them. And in some cases, they wouldn't take them back because they couldn't afford the fees. So we try to get them fixed.
You are, because you get involved if a dog has not been licensed.
Yes.
And I think that the way it is legally, you know, if it's an unneutered animal, it's quite a bit more expensive. So you're actually using that situation, if last conversation I had with you, to really convert that into a situation where they're spayed, neutered, and saving money. Yep. Go ahead and explain that.
Well, if your animal isn't licensed and it becomes impounded, it's either found running at large or we come to your house and it's not licensed, by law we can impound the animal. We usually try to work with the owner and have them get a license, but if they don't, we can impound it. We end up with the dog. When they come to redeem it, now they're going to pay for a delinquent license, and the delinquent license is going to run them $120, just the license, for a delinquent license.
Yeah.
Well, when they say, oh, I can't afford that, I can't get my dog out, well, then we offer to spay or neuter that dog for less than half that price, plus vaccinate it, and waive some fees, and they get the dog back for much less, and it's spayed and neutered, and licensed now.
Because, and solves the problem that we have.
Everything. It won't be running loose because it's not going to be chasing in heat females.
Right. Right. Right.
Wow. And Jamie, if we're running out of time, but if anyone is interested in either volunteering or helping, especially with the animals coming from Allegan County, how do they get in contact with you?
They can call our volunteer line, which is 517-676-8372. That's the volunteer line.
Okay. Yep. And we wish you the best of luck when it comes to solving these. And thank you for your role in getting these animals out, because it just sounds like a horrendous situation that really needed your expertise.
Yeah. But the outreach is going to be great that comes out of this.
And thanks for being a leader in all this.
Yeah.
You're a fantastic asset to the community.
Right. We've been speaking this morning with Jamie McAloon-Lampman, the executive director from Ingham County Animal Control. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation after the break with Sarah Vickery from Mid-Michigan Cat Rescue, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link. Got some ideas, questions, suggestions? Email us at mmpets@1320WILS.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mmpets. Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. You can upload your own pictures and interact with other pet enthusiasts.